is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice
and be glad. Oh, amen. Do you guys believe that today? All right. Well, I hope you believe that, and I believe it. When I look at this, and I told you in the past that I always look at different ways to say it. This is the day, and this is the day, and this is the day, and this is the day. And I always just put different emphasis on it to say, man, it means just a little something different today than it did yesterday. But I love doing that. Are you living that today? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. That's pretty powerful. Don't think I didn't hear this side either. The 6.5 of you. We shouldn't count children as half. The 7 of you. I'm excited about that. Excited about that. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 15 is where we're going first. And as you're turning there, I want to talk about just the examination process I've been through. And I've been through this before and looked at my life and looked at the ministry and the church and thought, where are we? And Lord, what do you want the church to do? And what do you want this church to do? And what do you want us to be? And how do we look? And my answer keeps really coming back the same. Become living examples of me. Not me, Adam. Me, Jesus, was the response. Become living examples of me. The problem was, when I looked in the mirror, I did not see a living example of Jesus Christ in all areas of my life. And I remember one time Eric did a transformation of a picture of Jesus, and he slowly transformed my face into that up on the big screen, and then transformed it back into Jesus. That was very frightening. And I thought, as many of us try to do, no matter what we try and make ourselves up to look like, we're still not Jesus. And we're still not Christ-like. Now we see pictures of Jesus. I don't know. He could have had as much hair as I do. We don't know. But all the pictures show him having a lot more hair than I do. On top of his head especially. So it doesn't matter if I were to throw a wig on there and a beard. I'm still not Jesus. Because I struggle with this. This thing he put on top of my bones called flesh. I worked down in Dallas the last 2 weeks. And Kisha, by the way, thank you for covering the Wednesday night Bible study while I was gone those weeks. That was a huge help, and I appreciate that. While driving down there this last week, I was listening to one of my favorite pastors, Alistair Begg. And I love his accent, first of all. And he was talking about patience. And he has multiple services at his church. And he said, I'm preaching this thing on patience, and I'm talking to someone, and it's 2 minutes after service. And there was some issue in the sound booth, and someone's fiddling with something. And so it starts making this noise through the sound booth. And he turned around and said, what the devil is going on back there? And he said, I'm 2 minutes out of my own message on patience, and I already lost my patience with what are you guys doing? And the poor sound guy's like, well, we're just fixing the problem, you know. Let's go back to what we were doing. And unfortunately, that became a halfway running joke on the trip. You know, oh my gosh, I've lost my patience. As he said, you know, 2 minutes after the benediction. And so as I looked at myself, I thought, but God, what do you want? What do you want us to do? When you say be Christ-like, and I thought, how do we welcome people? And there's that song out there. Now I got to come to the altar, but come to the table. And it talks about all the different people that are welcome at the table by Jesus Christ. And I thought, are we as inviting and welcoming? Every one of you at some point was a guest or visitor with us. We have some guests and visitors in the back. They visited a few times. Good to see you again. We have some guests and visitors that have decided to make this their church body at the end of service today. And some of you have been, it's been many years since you visited here. And you've been here ever since. As Christians, how do we receive one another? Well, let's just find out. Somehow I lost my page marker. It got bent over. There we go. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 1 through 7 as a scripture reference today, scripture reading. And it says, We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So we already know there's two groups of people, the strong and the weak. And generally, wherever you go, there's two groups of people at least. You can classify them in other ways, but they're always going to have the strong and the weak. But it says, bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Why do we do that? It says right behind it, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another. That's how you get a group of different people together. May the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next verse. Therefore, receive one another. Receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So we're to receive one another. And we can look around and see physically a vast difference between us. When you talk to different people, you'll find out differences on level of education or maybe gifts. You know, someone may know a lot about music or electronics or math or finances, business, whatever it is, education, all the different areas. Once we get talking, we learn those differences. But he prays and said, now may the God of patience, and I thought it was interesting that he added comfort, of patience and comfort, grant you to be like-minded towards one another. And I was like asking the question, why? Why does he want us to be like-minded towards one another? That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it isn't about us. They make it pretty clear right off the bat. Actually, the first thing we read, it says, let us not please ourselves. Verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. It's not about us. We read a couple weeks ago, Wednesday night, how can we make this about somebody else? What can we do to show somebody else a benefit, to give somebody else a benefit, rather than making it all about us? It says, man, blessed are you who have somebody else's concern above yours. Everything Jesus did said, although it's about me, it's not about me. For even, verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. Christ had opportunity time and time again to get out of situations for his benefit. But he chose not to. Why? It was not the will of the Father for him to escape out of those areas. It was the will of the Father to go through certain trials and certain times of temptation and these different areas that he had to struggle through and go through. And we look up and say, God, why are you doing this? I attend church. I even read the Bible once in a while. I give a little. I help clean up one day at church. God, why are you making me go through this? Can we really slow down and ask that after he had his son go to the cross? And again, knowing he could get out of that if he wanted to. But we have to ask ourselves, not, God, why are you making me go through this? Like, why, God, would you do this to me? But, God, why are you making me go through this? What do you want me to get out of this? How can I grow? How can I glorify you? Through this trial I'm going through. It may be for your own perseverance that you show someone else, no matter what I'm facing, I'm going through this. Because my God is faithful. He's faithful no matter what he has me go through. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 10. And as Paul is writing this, as we turn to Luke chapter 10, as Paul was writing that, Romans 15, he was telling them, guys, this isn't about you anymore. We have this me, me, me mentality. He said, it isn't about that anymore. I'm number one. I've got to take care of number one. I've got to look out for number one. If I don't look out for me, nobody's going to look out for me, we hear people say all the time. Oh my goodness, and God help us when we get to those really rich people that get so much of the public media attention. So many of them, it is all about them. And the ones that it's not, the ones that are doing good, tend to do it right very quietly. Sometimes they do it loud to get additional exposure and support. Other times they do it quietly, not wanting to wave a banner to say, look at me and what I did. And their good deeds are done secretly and quietly, and they don't get the media attention. But we say, let me look out for myself, because if I don't, nobody else will. Let me tell you, if we behaved as that scripture just told us, we would all be looking out for each other. Let me look out for you. Let me look out for you guys. Hey, let me look out for you guys. You don't have to say, nobody's looking out for me. Nobody cares. Because we do. Because our church body will know that we're checking up on each other. And I thought, do we really welcome differences in the church body? We welcome differences so long as they're our differences also. You know? You don't have much hair. Come on in. Yes, absolutely. That's my difference too. Come on in. You know, those type of things. When they line up with our differences, we can say, come on in. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. And this story, I think sometimes some of the meaning gets lost in it. And it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, talking to Jesus, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? In other words, what do you see? You tell me what you think. I think really Jesus was doing that for two reasons, to see what his starting ground was, and then of course to see what his interpretation was and his understanding of what he was reading. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responded and said, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. As simple as that. Do this and you will live. But the guy was still confused. And he wanted to justify himself. So he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now I'm thinking, if Jesus told me this is all you have to do, I'd want to maybe clarify a point or two. Exactly what do you mean by this? Is a neighbor just a person that's within a house of me and around? Is that it? Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of him. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. So one's coming down one side, one's coming down the other, and they both went around him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. We can just slow down and break down that word if we had time. But he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him into an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he had departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, and he said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. And Jesus asked and said, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the certain lawyer answered him, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus simply responded, go and do likewise. So I immediately thought, okay, how many times have we driven past someone that's injured or, you know, beat up or robbed or whatever? Adam, I haven't come across that. And I thought, yeah, okay. But how many times have we passed by opportunities? Those that are broken down, maybe during the interview process, maybe a coworker, teacher-student opportunities. What opportunities in our day-to-day life are we averting someone and going around and saying, not really my mess, I don't want to get involved. Now, trust me, there's certain things to stay out of, and some people have a problem sticking their nose in everything. That's not what this is saying. Okay? It goes back to that word, compassion. He had compassion. Compassion is what drives you to help people, not busybody, nosy people that want to be involved in everything. There's a certain amount of discernment we must also carry as we enter in certain situations. But I'm talking about how many times have we missed the opportunity to receive someone. Just to receive them into the presence of Jesus Christ as we help them out. And I thought, Jesus became the living example of these things. He became our example of receiving people, no matter what situation they were in. I love the story of the woman at the well. Go and tell your husband. Actually, he's not my husband. You've spoken well. You had 5 of them before, but the one you're with now isn't. But he still spent time talking to her, gave her direction. The one that came to him in the evening, one of those religious guys that came to him in secret. He really wanted to know more about him. Eric talked about Zacchaeus last week. Hey, you up in that tree, come down here. I'm going to your house. What, my house? Yes, you. Oh my goodness, did you see last night? I saw Jesus hanging out with those rotten people, the tax collectors, you know, those people, those dirty people. And it's our compassion and our love for one another that will drive us to become more Christ-like and to receive those that are different than us. those with backgrounds, those with differences, those with baggage. Some is more evident than others. In James chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, we'll close with this last story. And it says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Our openness shouldn't be partially open. Sorry, my Bible's falling apart and this one page is loose and I tried to move it and then I couldn't tell where I was. "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you say to him, 'You sit here in the good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble man, the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' If you do that, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment." Flip back to Romans chapter 15 where we started today. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. And as I read these, I see examples of Jesus saying, "Receive people, open yourselves up to people, welcome people, invite people." I'm not talking about just the church. I'm just talking about in conversation and helping others. So Romans chapter 15, now I want you to look back a few more verses. Romans 14, verse 12. And it simply says, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore." We got to quit judging. "But rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." We are called to remove those stumbling blocks. We are called not to be one and not to be a cause for our brother to stumble. I want us to look at how we welcome other people into our life. And again, I'm not talking about inviting them into your home, strangers you don't know. I'm talking about when we encounter people out in the streets. When we encounter people at work, in the supermarket. There's no need to get into a demolition derby with shopping carts going for a register. Okay? Go on ahead. You've just got a few things going in front of me. Whatever it is. We say these easier than we do these. I don't know if you've been on I-35 recently, but there's some construction going on down south of here. Yeah. I didn't fare too well on that this past week. I did find the shoulder of the road a few times, and I thought, dang it. I say that, and it was humorous, but I thought, man, what a complete failure of what I'm preaching on Sunday. Patience was gone. My Lord, why did this guy in his big giant truck feel he needed to block the entire left lane from anyone going around him to merge a mile up the road? But see, I wanted to fix him and teach him that he wasn't the law around there. So I had to drive around him on the grass. Because I, you know, and I thought, what an utter failure. Then the second semi that saw me coming did the same. Spitting grass and gravel everywhere. And I thought, it becomes so easy to talk it, but to do it. So my challenge is this. Before we meet for our next communion, take opportunity to examine yourself more often than once a month here. And say, God, where can you transform me and help me grow? As we prepare to welcome new members into the church, it's another opportunity to receive people and welcome people and open up for people. If I could get Joe, if you'd come up here, Buddy and Judith, and any children you want to bring with you, or leave behind, that's okay either way. Armin and Grace. And then Frank and Marlene Howard aren't here today. They're traveling, but we will recognize them. Let's go ahead and come on down here. We'll all be on one side. How's that? You're good right there? Either place? Just on the side of the table. No. Right there. Yeah. Sorry. We can dance later? Yeah, either way. Church, before us stands a group of individuals that have expressed their desire to join our church in fellowship and membership. They're here to declare their faith and be joined together with us in the service of Jesus Christ. Hear now the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." Friends, Jesus Christ has chosen you and he has joined you to himself. He has called each of you together with us into the church, which is his body. I will ask you as a group before this church congregation, but look to each of you for an answer that you intend to be a disciple and a faithful member of this church. And will you do so by supporting the church through regular attendance? If so, please say, "I do." All right. By giving of tithes and offerings to support the church's missions and ministry work? If so, answer, "I do." By lifting up the church body's needs and its leadership through regular prayer? If so, answer, "I do." By serving in areas of ministry and sharing the work responsibilities of the church? If so, answer, "I do." And then by growing in discipleship, learning your spiritual gifts and equipping for service to God? If so, answer, "I do." All right. Church, as they have given us their commitment, let us also give them our commitment. Church, do you promise to give them your support by being faithful to welcome them in love and support them as brothers and sisters in Christ? If so, answer, we will. Be filled with gratitude and let the message of Christ dwell among you in all its richness. Whatever you are doing in action and in word, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Friends, as members of one church, you do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We welcome you to the worship and work of the people of God. There is one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. As disciples and faithful members of this church, and therefore His church, live in His love and serve Him. Prayer of faith, I want to welcome. This is Armin and Grace. Joe, or Josanda, but she goes by Joe. Buddy and Judith, and you have Caden, who's two years old. And then Clara, their new baby daughter, who is how old now? Almost 8 months. Time flies, as we know, for those of us that have had children that are now cycling through their one-year birthday. So 8 months. So prayer, faith, please, after service, take a minute just to welcome them. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these new members, Lord. We ask you to grow them. We ask you to just help them become closer to you. Help us become closer to you as a group. Lord, help us as a church body to reach out to them and lift them up as well. Lord, we welcome these new people to the table. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon them and their families. And ask that you do a work in their lives as they do a work in the church body. In Jesus' name, amen.